Hey, a friend, you're now tuned into the Side Hustle Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Kristen N. James, but please call me CJ, Side Hustle Success Coach. And yes, the show name is brand new for 2024, but it's still all about empowering women-identified 9-to-5ers to build confidence as a side hustler so they can go from having a boss to being a boss. If that is you, be sure to join me every Thursday because you're going to get tips plus some of my unfiltered personal experiences as an entrepreneur plus insights from incredible guests. I want to set you up for success as you go from struggling employee to strategic entrepreneur. So prepare to hit rewind a few times or just go ahead and save the episode. Let's get into this week's topic. Joining me today is Crystal Vernet. She is a business coach and brand strategist, and we're going to be talking about increasing sales through lead generation. But before we get into it, I have to give Crystal a moment to shine and tell us more about yourself, anything you'd like us to know. And thank you so much for being here with me today. Take it away.
Awesome. Thank you so much, CJ, for having me here. Guys, I am a serial entrepreneur. I have 4 businesses right now at the time of this recording, and I'm looking to start 2 more in the new year. That's coming from one of my businesses. It's going to be our 10-year anniversary next year, so I'm super excited about that. My brick and mortar business, Divas and Dolls Fitness. So we're gearing up for that. 5 years for Cirque Sensuelle and 5 years for my business coaching and brand strategy business next year. So it's just, you know, a couple of big things coming up. I also released a book this year, The Brand Builder Blueprint, Shattering Barriers in Business and Beyond. It's a Amazon number one bestseller. And then I had a summit, virtual and in-person, The Brand Builder Blueprint. I want to continue doing that in the years to come. So both virtual and in-person events. And fun fact, I've done 19 speaking engagements this year. So yeah. Wow. It's been a year.
We are connected on LinkedIn and I see you. I'm like, what, this girl is at something else. She's speaking. And we met through, we were both on a summit together. That's how we first connected. So good for you. Good for you. Kudos to you. Thank you for sharing. I love to, okay, so you've been busy. You've got 4 businesses right now, a book, more things coming up, anniversaries. But I always like to ask the story of the transition story, the journey from employee to entrepreneur. Would you like to share your story with us today? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone's journey is different. So I want to start with that. And, you know, I always tell people some people's journey will be quick. Some people's journey will be a little bit more lengthy. And for me, I just think everything that I've experienced all happened for a reason. I had a good corporate job and I started my pole dancing studio on the side. It was open at night. So my 9-to-5, I was working. And then after that, I would go to my studio and teach classes in the evening. And, you know, the studio started to, it didn't do well the first few years. As you know, most businesses, it takes us a while to kind of get it going. But while I was building, I was married to my high school sweetheart, who was less than supportive. And so if you can imagine hearing things like, why are you doing this? This is a stupid idea. Your business should, you know, you should just close it. No one cares about this. You got an expensive hobby. You're never going to make it. You know, hearing that from my husband and also my mom, too, because my mom felt that I need to be in a more traditional role, like be a wife, be a mom, stop this whole business corporate thing. It doesn't matter. And so in spite of all this, I continued to build my business, hire coaches and mentors and try and improve things. And I did. So the business started to do well. Probably around year 5, I felt like it was in a really good place and I wanted to leave my corporate job. But that was the year that I actually went through my divorce and the year right before COVID. And so I believe everything happens for a reason. So when COVID hit, you know, yeah, I had to close my studio for a few months and I was still working at my job. So I didn't end up leaving. So I always tell people, like, it's kind of like circumstances are what they are. Everything happens for a reason. I probably could have transitioned around year five and then worked to build from there, but it didn't happen that way. And so I stayed in my full-time job and I stayed working my other business, but I started three more at that point after divorcing my husband. So I got rid of the negative influences in my life, changed the relationship with my mom, and decided that I was going to be an entrepreneur, so make this thing work. But my full-time job, I actually like it. Like, I liked my team and I had gotten to a good place. I was comfortable. And sometimes, you know, when we get comfortable, we tend not to move.
Yeah,
I was comfortable, and growth always happens on the other side of comfort. And so what happened for me is that my then boss purposely gave me a negative performance review. Like, this was a new boss, so that was on purpose, and admitted to cyber stalking me and said some terrible things in my performance review. And I decided that that was the last straw. And that was it. I was like, you know what? I don't have to take this. I spent so many years of my life, over 6 years married, but 17 years in the relationship, feeling powerless, feeling hurt, feeling like I had lost my voice. I wasn't going to continue this way in an environment that I was choosing to be in, right? Yeah. Because everything that we do is a choice. And so I chose to step away and become a full-time entrepreneur. So it wasn't necessarily a happy story of like we celebrated and all these things, but I was comfortable and living in that comfort and not pushing myself to actually take the leap, which I could have done, like I said, years earlier. Yeah. So that's my transition story. There's a lot of things within that, but you know, I've never looked back since, and I'm glad that I made the decision to choose myself and build my businesses.
Bravo to you. Wow. What a story. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for feeling safe enough to share that. That was a doozy. And with that, how did you settle on what you do now as a business coach, brand strategist? Do you feel like, I feel like with all the experience of starting and running and trying different businesses, you would understand branding, but how did you settle on like, this is the thing one of the businesses I'm going to focus on?
Yeah, so I didn't start from the beginning of my story. I've actually been running businesses since I was 16.
Okay. So my entrepreneurship
started at an early age, and I've done different things in different industries. So my first business was e-commerce on eBay. My second business was like financial services. Then I did some dabbling in business consulting early on for like taxes, accounting, and like structure. I was like a 20 something year old, and I partnered with a couple of other people. So I've had a few different business ventures before my studio even. And what I noticed was that I had a knack for building brands, like making the brand itself, like the messaging, you know, what people thought about it look really, really good from the onset. And so what I wanted to do was I was like, I want to do that for other people. And of course, people were asking me if they saw my business and how it was growing and like, how can you help me do this? What can I do to make things better? So I was naturally kind of just pulled into that direction.
Wow. I have so many questions. Let's just forget the topic altogether and get to, I'm joking. So what we want to talk about today is lead gen, mm-hmm. right? Lead generation. And it's a crucial piece in any business. But yes. Of course, as entrepreneurs, as seasoned entrepreneurs, we understand lead generation. But I want to like bring it, scale it all the way back so we can really break it down for the audience. First thing I want to ask is, what is a lead? Like, what does it mean when people talk about leads?
Mm-hmm. So a lead would be, it's going to be a potential customer. And this would be someone who is after the stage where they just learned about your business. So they're interested. A lead is interested. They have acknowledged their interest in what you have to offer. So we can't think of leads as social media followers. We can't think of leads as people who passed us on the street and said hello, or who may have walked past our storefront. Those are not leads, right? They're not yet. They have not yet raised their hand and said, I'm interested, or in what you have to offer, I want to at least hear more from you. That would be a lead.
Okay. And that's why I wanted to ask that question, because I know we can go on a whole, social media could be a whole other topic and a whole other day, but people feel like, yeah, I've got blah, blah, blah followers and my business should just automatically grow. Right. So I wanted to really get into that. When you talk about leads and starting and running and growing a business, what it means to just have a lead. So with the lead has acknowledged you, they know about you, your product, your service, or at least they know more about you. They want to know more about you. They feel like this is the person or this is a product or service that I need in order to solve my problem. Maybe they don't even realize they have a problem. Right. When it comes to generating leads, what is there a science to it? What works best to generate leads and then do it consistently?
Yeah, you mentioned science. So I feel like marketing is science. Marketing is a science. Okay. So yes, and this, systems, lead generation, like that term to me equals system. So I'm an engineer. That's what my degree is in. And everything is systems and processes. And the more that you can break these things down within your business, the more success that you're going to see. When things are chaotic and you're doing random things, that's when things seem like, oh my gosh, things aren't working, or this didn't turn out as, you know, as I expected. But the best way to get leads is actually to, number one, do the research to find out where your ideal customers are hanging out. That's the very first thing. Cause we, you know, a lot of people will say you need to be everywhere. Well, that's not possible at certain stages in your business, right? When you're beginning, it's literally impossible to be everywhere, especially if you're the one wearing all the hats. So the smartest thing to do is to show up in the places and spaces where your customers, your potential customers or ideal customers are in great numbers. That's the name of the game when you first start. And then we could talk about like additional tactics after that, but that really is how you want to get started. And then from there, you need to have a message that's tailored to that particular potential ideal client and explaining in clarity, like immense clarity, what you do and how you can help them. And that really is the way that you're going to be able to generate leads.
Yeah. Okay. And you made it sound really easy, really simple. Find where they're hanging out, do the research, find where they're hanging out and have your message really clear. But when it actually comes to generating the leads, I feel like this is where the real science comes in. And people have different ways from, you know, after, you know, 7 years, you know, running my business, people, I've heard different things people do with when they generate leads. And like you mentioned, that especially when you're just starting out, you're just kind of figuring out your business, most likely it's you wearing all the hats and you figure out, okay, this is the service I want. We'll stick with service, I guess. This is the service I want to provide. And now I want to grow my, I want to make sales. So now I got to generate leads. I know where they're hanging out. What does someone need to do to actually generate leads for their business, to start to grow their new business?
Yeah, let's just start with social media, because that's probably the easiest place and I think where people will most understand generating leads from social media. So the platform that you're on is going to absolutely play a role in being able to do this process. But we talk about social media, we want to be creating content, right? That's going to talk about the service that we provide, how good it is, right? What the result is going to be. So when you're creating content, it's just not anything. It really should be specific to the transformation you provide, right? And that content within it has a call to action. So you want to tell your audience to do something, right? Typically, if we just talk about, you mentioned funnel, so a basic funnel, it's going to tell them to download or click on this thing that's a lead magnet. What is a lead magnet? It helps you capture, right? And so it could be a podcast episode. It could be a course. It could be a guide. It could be a PDF of some sort. You explain what this lead magnet is, right? Whatever, in whatever form it comes in, and that person will want the lead magnet. So in exchange for the lead magnet, you now get their information, which is their name and their email. And that person has raised their hand now because they've given you their information that they want to hear more from you. So when you're building a relationship with a new client or customer, people will first pay you with their information before they pay you with their money, right? So like, if they've decided, I want to hear more from this person, or at least see what she's about, that means they're interested in potentially exploring what all might be there. You know, you've struck a nerve, like you said something in a problem that you can solve that they are experiencing. And so they want to know, how can you help me? Or what will the result be? And that, you know, having a system in place, right? Because it's not magic. We're talking about lead magnets and links and things. You do have to have a customer relationship management system. I know there's different schools of thought about this, or CRM. I'm of the school of thought that you must have a system. I don't tell people to set things up with, like, you know, let's start with pen and paper and Excel, and like you have to manually copy and paste. You will get overwhelmed really fast, even if your business is just starting out. And I think it's just best to set things up the right way from the beginning and let the software grow with you and your business, versus trying to get together what really could be a mess after just a few short months if you just had everything in the system and took advantage of the feature. So those are kind of the pieces that you need in order to really be able to, one, generate leads, and two, collect them and do something with them after.
Yeah, right. Yes. And that's the thing. People might drop the ball on once they've actually generated the leads, because generating a lead doesn't mean, oh, sale. Right. Sometimes I know, especially for me as a coach and the type of clients I work with, I really have to nurture those relationships before they actually do say yes. So I might have tons of leads, right? But they're not all necessarily clients. So it's really understanding that the person is in your orbit, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get their money. Maybe they're checking out three or four of, you know, people in your industry. So what are you going to do or say to be the one to kind of stand out for them? What would you say is, now I have another question. What would you say is the biggest mistake you've noticed people make? Or maybe biggest mistake, and if there's like an oversight that people have when it comes to lead generation?
Biggest mistake, not having a next step in place.
Okay.
That's probably the biggest mistake. So it's like people think the work, like you said, the work is done once they're in your ecosystem or once they're on your list, the work is done. No. There needs to be a next step that's given, the next step and the next step and the next step, right? In order to be able to keep the relationship going and to build a know, like, and trust factor. So when someone is cold, a cold lead, meaning they know nothing about you or your brand, your objective is to warm them up. So like if they join your list, right? Okay. Now they are warm, not hot. They're warm, right? Your objective is to take them from warm to hot. So how can you do that? That needs to be something else. Because if they don't hear from you, or they're not hearing from you, you know, out of sight, out of mind. That is very true, especially in today's age, and people are getting so many emails. And if you can't capture their attention with what you're saying, then they're going to look at something else, or put it on the shelf, or put it in the parking lot for now. So that's like the biggest mistake. I think the biggest, probably the biggest oversight, biggest oversight is if people don't respond, or maybe you send out what you think is like enough emails, not following back up at some point at regular intervals.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love follow. Everybody knows me. They call me follow up queen. So I can go on and on about follow up, because as you said, we get so many emails. There's just so much stuff coming at us every single day, right? So just because you sent one or two emails and the person hasn't responded doesn't necessarily mean they're not interested. It's just, I know as a coach, for example, coaching is not necessarily a priority for many people. They're not really thinking, oh yeah, I really need to get a coach right now. And like you said, with the no like trust factor, they need some time. So checking back in with them. And I always say, because I talk with clients about this all the time. And I always say, well, think about how many times you've gotten a message or read an email and you're like, I don't know, standing in line at the grocery store. And you're like, okay, I'll reply to this later. And then later comes and goes. And then it's another week, it's another 2 weeks. So it really is important to follow. Basically to just be successful with lead generation, and in order to convert those into sales, it really comes down to having a system in place, having some kind of flow, being able to t- take them through a journey, if you will, yes. so that you get them from cold to not just hot, they're just in the pot with you, and they've thrown their wallet at you, essentially.
Yeah.
And you're working with them. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So have a flow, folks. Have things automated. Do it from the very beginning, having some kind of system, knowing what you want the people's journey to look like, I guess you can say, or what kind of journey, what kind of journey you want to take them on, or like once, you know, they're on your mailing list, it's great that you've gotten their email, but now what, right? Yeah. I've gotten emails from people that I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even remember I was on their email list. Like, where's this coming from? It's been years since I've gotten an email from them. And of course, naturally I just unsubscribe. So, okay, that's another question. And then we'll start wrapping up. What is something that people, we kind of touched on funnels, which is like funnels are a whole other convo. What is something that people can do when they're nurturing a lead to keep them, because not everybody will stay on your list. I'm trying to think of how to word this, to keep them from wanting to unsubscribe. Like, how do you keep them interested to stay, to want to stay on your email list?
So this probably goes into like more advanced marketing techniques. But when I talked about like, there's twofold, having having a next step. I always like to say have an invitation ready. So, and I'm a big person, and I think a lot of people, they get a lot of emails, but they don't necessarily get the opportunity to personally interact. So do you have something where someone can experience you or your team or your brand in full effect? Like, not everything that you would do in a like, let's use coaches, for example, in a coaching program, or if you're a service provider, is there some way that they can experience with you, have an experience with you, so that that will drive them closer to a decision versus just getting emails? I'm not saying that just emails don't work, but some people, because we're all different, right? Some people will be able to make a decision through copy. Other people will not. They will want to talk to someone or hear something, right? Think about the learning styles that people have, auditory, visual, and kinesthetic, right? How are you capturing that in your customer journey, in your workflow? So I think that's if you're only doing emails, and I know this kind of makes it a little bit more complicated, but you're only talking to like one type of person. And we're assuming that person, that's the way that they like to receive information. They don't need the other types of learning styles. So I always like to take that into consideration with everything that I'm doing, even when I'm doing workshops. Everything I put together, like, captures the three learning styles. And I know it's because I'm a product of teachers. So like, this is what's within me. I teach my clients to do the same thing, because I think it's really important that you speak to the people who have want to learn more from you, but maybe email's not enough. And then I think sometimes unsubscribes are okay, right? Because, you know, well, not sometimes, they are okay. Because maybe it really isn't a good fit for that person. Like, they thought they literally just got on your email list for the free thing. But when it comes to your brand, who you are and how you do things, it's not a good fit. So I always tell people, don't be offended by unsubscribes. Some people might unsubscribe and then resubscribe later. Don't ask me what that's about. Maybe it was like they didn't think it was, and they got something else or saw something else. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I want to be back in the in crowd, right? But I think that's going to happen over time. But as long as you're consistent with your message and how you deliver and giving people an opportunity to experience you in different ways, I think the unsubscribes will lessen, over time, and they won't bother you over time.
Yeah, that's a good, I love that you added that piece, because I remember at the very beginning, I'm like, oh my God, you know, I got 2 unsubscribes, oh my God, like, right, and you go in and you check your list, and now I'm just like, you know what, that's cool, because I don't want people receiving my message, and you kind of pay for the spots too, let's just keep it real, so I don't want people on my list if they don't want to be on my list, they don't want to receive my content, go right ahead and unsubscribe. You'll kind of get a lot clearer on your message too. If there's some way you can evaluate when people are unsubscribing, could have caused them to unsubscribe. Okay, this is a really, really good convo. I love this. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise. On that note, what do you have coming up, Crystal? What are you not working on? Because you've done like 8,000 things.
So of course there's more speaking engagements. I don't have all the information for that right at this moment, but definitely folks, if they give me a follow, they'll definitely learn about that. And I do plan on putting on a summit post Q2. The Brand Builder Blueprint Summit will be returning. I don't have the date yet, but definitely that's what will be coming up post Q2.
Okay, so just make sure you're following Crystal. You want to learn from her. You can tell just from this short conversation. I was making notes, right? So I'm sure you were as well. So Crystal, before I absolutely positively let you go, do you have a nugget to share with the audience today?
Yeah, I think of all the things that I've experienced and gone through and continue to go through and grow through, one thing that I tell people is to just do the fearless thing. It's not the easiest thing. It's not the most popular thing, but it is the fearless thing. And that has become like the mantra of my life, to do the fearless thing. So if I can leave one nugget of encouragement and advice, just do the fearless thing.
Thank you so much for being here with me, sharing your wisdom, your expertise, your energy, your vibes, all that good stuff. I really, really, really do appreciate you. Looking forward to everything else that you will have going on coming up as the year progresses. And I will talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh my goodness. Another episode is over. Whew. What did you think? I'd love to hear your biggest takeaway. A 5-star review, maybe? And I'm ready to boost your confidence in just 15 minutes. Try me out. Visit my website, kristennjames.com, to get started today. Oh, and be sure to grab your gift in the show notes. Stay encouraged, my friend, and have a sparkling day.